innovative, thoughtful, provocative. Welcome to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network with your host, Lynn Renee.
Welcome to The Soul Speaks. I'm your host, Lynn Renee, on the EX3 Radio Network. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm excited about this evening. We are going to have great conversation, a great time, as we have been throughout these past weeks. It's been a blast, and I look forward to tonight as well being a good time. We have tonight with us co-host Mr. Means.
Hello, world. I'm looking forward to a wonderful show this evening. We've got a great topic, and we have fantastic guests this evening, and we're going to get this thing going.
Yes, indeed.
Stay close.
Yes, indeed. As always, we want you to take note of the call-in number, 929-477-3860. And you can, for questions and comments, of course. Again, let me repeat that, 929-477-3860, press 1. If you are listening on the web, there's a section for comments, or you can make use of the chat room. Also, like our Facebook page, facebook.com, The Soul Speaks LRM, and you can leave any questions or comments on that page as well. Also, in liking our Facebook page, you'll be able to keep up with what we're doing. All of the events that's going on, our shows that are coming up, you can stay more well informed if you like our page. So it would be a good idea for you to like our Facebook page, and that way you can be on top of whatever is going on. We, over the past few weeks, have been doing a lot of self-examination, self-discovery, and I pray that through these topics, each and every one of you have had the opportunity to examine yourselves, and hopefully, you know, you found some things or heard some things in these shows that are helpful to you, that are helping you get through whatever process you need to get through. In reaching that higher consciousness, or finding out more truths about yourself. So that's my prayer for each and every one of you. I know it has been good for me, and I have been finding out some things and being able to make changes as a result of our show. Well, tonight we're going to have two special guests. And we're going to have Sharon Hinton with us, and she's from Boston Praise Radio. She also is a professor, lecturer, and she's also in charge, or she has founded Black Teachers Matter. So we're going to be hearing about the educational system today, and we're also going to hear from Paul Porter. He's the founder of Rap Rehab, and he's also in the music, has been in the media industry for quite some time. He also founded At Industry Ears, and he's a former executive at BET. So we are excited about what's going to take place tonight. What do you think, Mr. Means? I think it's going to be a marvelous time.
I just hope that we have enough time to cover all the questions that we have lined up to ask these two guests, our two distinguished guests.
Yes, indeed. And so get your pencils ready to, you know, ask questions. These topics are going to be, I believe, very beneficial, informative at best. You know, letting us know what's going on in the school system and in the rap industry. And I'm really excited about talking about both of them. because there is so much going on that needs to be said, so much going on that, you know, a lot of people don't know about. So I think it's an opportunity for us to get informed. So I'm excited about that as well. So get yourselves ready. Call a friend. Let them know. Tune into the Soul Speaks and be informed about what's going on. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get started on the Soul Speaks.
You've been waiting on it, and now it's here. X's, O's, and W's. Inspirational stories from successful basketball coaches. The greatest collection of basketball coaches ever in one book. Written by award-winning writer C. Nathaniel Brown. X's, O's, and W's shares motivational and wisdom topics such as faith, family, success, work ethic, teamwork, and character from championship coaches, including Hall of Famers Rick Pitino, Lute Olson, Ann Donovan, and Morgan Wooten. It's more than a sports book. It's wisdom, inspiration, and motivation. Order your copy today at www.ex3ent.com. That's www.ex3ent.com.
Don't be confused the way name is CJ. You're listening to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Soul Speaks. I'm your host, Lynn Renee, on the EX3 Radio Network, having a marvelous time tonight. Looking forward to it, actually. As I stated before, we're going to be talking about the educational system as well as the music industry, the hip-hop industry. I'm interested in talking about the new movie that's come out, Straight Outta Compton, with the group that was N.W.A. So we are waiting on our guests to arrive so that we can get into these topics of discussion. But before we do so, or while we're waiting, we can do a little recap on what's been happening, and also if you have a testimony of some of the things that we've talked about and how they've affected you, you can feel free to call in and give that testimony. Tell us how some of the conversations have been helpful to you. I certainly appreciate all of your input because it's about all of us, and it's a honor and a pleasure when you call to me, when you call in, because we're able to, you're able to, number one, share your soul's expression, and I believe that everyone has something to say that can be beneficial to all. And we've had a lot of that. I'm really impressed with the things that people have had to say in their engagement with The Soul Speaks. Last week we talked about letting go of you know, things that disturb us, you know, things that could be holding us back. We're learning that it's not worth it. You know, let those things go and keep it moving. You know, the Bible says that the spirit moved, and we are spirit, and we shouldn't be stuck in any one place. We should be moving on. We should be moving to that higher consciousness. We should be elevating to that higher state of mind. We should be gaining more strength and power. And that's what it's all about, because we're capable. It's how we're made. So in saying that, you know, my desire is that this show will continue to empower us all to move forward in life and to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, no matter what they are, whether it's, you know, educational desire, or, you know, you just want to gain power and strength in your life to do the things that you need to do. So whatever it is, the whole point is that we want to help you in any way that we can accomplish that. And you're doing the same. You're a part of that help, because when you call in and you give your comments and you know, tell us about what you know, then that's a blessing to all that are listening. So we encourage you in your calling in and being a part of what we're doing here. So with that being said, we may have to get some of these topics started without our guests.
Well, I guess we could. We're just being patient and waiting for them to make their connections. They may be having a little technical difficulty, because I was told back in a little ways back that we were having difficulty with some of the things that making connections.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Ms. Hinton first, and we're going to bring her in, and we're going to have her introduce herself, and then we will begin to talk about Black Teachers Matter. So let's call in. Let's have Ms. Hinton come in, and we'll start the discussion with her. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
How are you? Oh, my goodness. Life is amazing. God is awesome. And I'm blessed to have a favor. How are you?
It sounds like you're kind of breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm on my cell phone. I'm actually looking at my computer and talking on the cell phone.
Multitasking, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I have a TV show later on this evening, and so I got caught up doing the research. So I'm doing a show on the District 4 and District 7 city council race. It's the only, those are the only two races in the city of Austin that actually are going to the primary. The rest of them are going to, on September 8th, the rest of them are going to the general election in November. So, you know, I'm sitting there and going through all the demographics, and I'm not actually having any guests on, which is interesting for me. And I was doing all the background research, and, you know, when you start doing background research on anything, you're never an expert. The only one that knows everything about anything is God. Amen?
Amen. That's correct. That is correct.
So, the Black Teachers Matter is the same thing. I mean, I founded the organization Black Teachers Matter as an offshoot to an original nonprofit organization, the Independent Educational Oversight Coalition, which is a coalition of teachers and parents, nonprofits, organizational leaders, and activists. And we're standing for more Black teachers and administrators, the elimination of the school-to-prison pipeline disciplinary system in public and charter schools, for more cultural competency and diversity in the curriculum and professional development training, and also for fiscal oversight, and accountability of charter school finances. Charter schools are basically taking over the educational system across the country, and they're backed by corporations and self-interest groups, not all of them, but too many of them, and there is no one set oversight group on a federal or state or city levels that monitors these groups that set up shop. And a lot of them are going out of business, and they're ruining kids' education, academic prospects. There are charter schools that are being challenged in New Orleans. In New Orleans, you know, we're right around the same anniversary time, 10 years ago, of Hurricane Katrina. And so when Hurricane Katrina happened, all the schools shut down, but what came in its place were charter school systems, and so the Black teachers were not hired back. And can you still hear me? So that there's an organization there that is suing the public school system there and fighting against the privatization of the educational system. There's also a group of parents in Chicago in the Diet school system that are on a hunger strike. I think this is about day 10. And
Chicago,
so there are two
Southside.
Chicago,
I think,
yeah.
What is Diet High School?
Diet,
I think the
yep,
name
is Diet High School.
Yeah, High School. And, they're closing that school down, they said, for poor performance. But from what I understand, this school has gotten an influx of students from another school that they had closed down. So, you know, you can see poor performance and you don't have all the resources to keep up with that, with the additional, let alone what you already have.
But, you know, that's the dialogue that's coming through from a couple of different entities. So if you understand why public schools and why education started in this country to begin with, and then you look at the history of the academic and educational system in regard to people of color, specifically African Americans, the purposes of educating the population is a lot more diabolical. And so when you hear about schools being shut down, and then you do the history and you do the background work, and you find that a lot of these schools actually were good-performing and well-performing schools, but they were forced to adhere to almost impossible standards. So in other words, you have public schools who have to take in everyone. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got English, people whose English is not their first language. You've got
people who have disabilities in terms of learning, and then you have a disproportionate amount of people, black male, that are diagnosed as being, well, supposedly diagnosed as being special ed or having learning disabilities. And so you have a lot of that is really racially motivated and colorist incited motivated. So when you look at the racism of the educational system, and then you also look at the fact that the educational systems in terms of public schools are really not set up for our young people to be educated. It's set up to program them and to train them to be better educated workers and not necessarily entrepreneurs or independent thinkers or critical thinkers. And so there's a larger problem when you're talking about the miseducation of black and brown children, because when you look at the curriculum, a lot of, if there is a social studies and a history class, it usually is very small, very short, very truncated, because that's not usually a subject that's tested. It's math and science and English. And so a lot of the Boston Public Schools are actually getting pushback from a lot of the educators, because the Boston Public School System is trying to eliminate history classes and eliminate social studies. And so when you do that, you cut out the context, this historical context of why it's important to know math, why it's important to be proficient in English, why you need to know the sciences.
Right.
When it comes to black and brown children, that's even more important, because if you don't see yourself reflected in the curriculum, why should you be interested?
Right. I have from the chat room, our guest wants to know, how can you tell them how they can connect with Black Teachers Matter?
Certainly. Let me get some water first. So Black Teachers Matter, we have a Facebook and we have an email. We have an organization. The easiest way to get in contact with us right now is going to the Facebook page, Black Teachers Matter, and liking it and giving us your information. It's also an email account, blackteachersmatter@gmail.com. And we're in the process of putting together the website. And also, you know, the number to reach is 617-910-9755. That's 617-910-9755.
Did you say 617-910-9755?
Yes.
Okay, great. Awesome. And, I mean, you know, what do you – in as far as the Black Teachers Matter, the organization, are you – what are some of the things that you have in – you're pursuing – to, you know, make changes or in the, you know, in some of the situations? Or are you, you know, what types? Are you just, are you there just supporting, you know, the teachers, or does your organization try to brainstorm and, you know, maybe, you know, submit some legislation, you know, things of that nature to, you know, to help make changes?
Well, this actually, this past year earlier, from January to about June, no, February to about June, we protested outside a couple of charter schools because they did not have, they didn't have any black, they had one black male teacher in all three of their schools. And so we were protesting Black Teachers Matter. We have coalitions of several groups and are supporting legislation to keep the cap in charter schools in Massachusetts. There are groups of people, well-funded, that are trying to get the cap. You know, there's a certain amount of charter schools that can be built in any one particular district
right.
in Massachusetts. So there's a strong coalition that's trying to lift that cap. And so, it, you know, we're fighting with the people who are against lifting the cap because we want, certain guidelines to be there. We want the people who are coming into our schools to be educated and know about our kids. Right now, a lot of the charter schools, the teachers aren't necessarily certified. And there's
wow.
a leasing thing. You have a large percentage of white young females who are maybe 2 to 3 years experience, maximum 4 years experience. And then you have a lot of black veteran teachers who are being pushed out of the system, leaving the system because of lack of support. And that goes back to, you know, whether a school is really successful, right? So if you
right.
have, in the public schools, the way it's configured in Massachusetts, is once a student transfers to a charter school, the money follows the student at diminishing percentages for a period of 5 years. So literally you're taking money, tax money, out of the public school system to follow a student that's in a charter school. And some of the charter schools are actually part of the district, and some of the charter schools are not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
So you already have lack of resources in the public schools, and you're draining even more of the resources than what do you say in terms of your commitment to education, specifically commitment to education for black and brown students. You have people who aren't familiar with the culture, who are not familiar with the norms, and we have kids, and there's information from the Department of Education, the federal department, and also local statistics that cite that black girls, are 6 times more likely to be suspended or expelled for disciplinary issues. That
I
black
saw
children,
those.
You saw those statistics.
Yeah.
And so that's what came in fraction. So if you have a white student and a black student, and the white student is not expelled, but you have the black student that is 6 times more likely, black female student is 6 times more likely to be suspended, you're interrupting their educational experience, you're interrupting their academic path. You're also, a lot of these suspensions and expulsions, you're talking about involving police. And having police, then you're developing a record. I'm not sure if you've seen, and that was in a student's car, but there's also issues with students with disabilities. There was an 8-year-old boy that was handcuffed, and the handcuff was so big, they handcuffed him at his elbow. He had issues, behavioral issues, because of his disability, but here he is being handcuffed by police. And so you have disciplinary measures that are happening in the school before the parents are even notified. And you're already involving the court system, and you're taking away, you're cutting down the authority of the parents when it comes to parenting their child, which adds to, you know, a lot of the low-income people, they're working 2 and 3 jobs. They can't go to all these meetings, and a lot of the meetings are held during the day. So there's a whole system shift. So we've aligned, Black Teachers Matter has aligned itself with a disciplinary disciplinary system that was initiated by Black Lives Matter and also the Boston Student Advisory Council that talks more of like a restorative justice disciplinary system as opposed to a punitive, just punish, and expel kind of disciplinary system. The numbers for the charter schools, people say, look so good. Well, yes. If you are pushing out the people that you don't want and you have an environment where they don't fit, then the only people that survive that environment are people that are going to be successful, and therefore your numbers go up. But if you have to educate the child no matter what, then that's when your numbers may go down because you're dealing with a person who doesn't speak English, a person who may have a learning disability, a person who may have come from another country. So you're dealing with a lot of different things, and not just as the public school systems are, versus the charter school systems who say that they're the same as the public school system, but that's a lot. The Koch brothers and a lot of the big foundations are supporting the charter schools because they're making money.
All right. I want to just a moment to invite our guests in to, if you have any questions for Ms. Hinton, now would be a good time to call in with any questions you might have concerning the system and her organization, Black Teachers Matter. I am so, I'm happy that you know, we have people that are getting involved and making a difference, because it's very complicated. Especially when you're talking about monies being allocated for resources, which to me, based on what I've seen in the systems, you know, the black schools never have enough resources.
Well, it depends on the black school, because there are some black schools that are highly successful, which we hear in the media.
Which is another
problem. Urban Prep Academy in Chicago, they're, highly successful. You don't have enough of them, right? But whenever, if you look at the history of the Black Panthers, who don't get enough credit, there was a free school, free breakfast program, highly successful. You're Afrocentric, and we know what works with our kids, but when you don't have black teachers who know the culture, who know the kids, I didn't have to give detention and suspensions because I'm a mother, I'm a black woman, and you have that look. As a mother, you have that mama's look. So you look, kids know what it is, and they straighten up. You know what's going on. They know what's going on. So when you have a young white girl who's not familiar with the population, not familiar with the culture, let's be serious, let's be frank, a lot of them are afraid of our boys. A lot of them are afraid of our kids. And their way is to control through punishment, through this detention, through the suspension, through these rigid disciplinary systems that just frankly don't work with our kids, a lot of our kids. And our kids are disciplined. Now, don't get me wrong. Not every black teacher is a good teacher, and there are kids that have problems. But not to the extent of what's going on in the public school systems or the charter school system.
That's true.
Let me chime in and say this. Teachers not only have to be very adequate and very educated as far as their subject matter that they're going to teach is concerned. They also have to be part-time psychologists, part-time babysitters. They've got to have the resources, not only the resources, but the intelligence in order to deal with today's children.
Well, it's not just the children, because we're talking K through 12, right? And the majority of my background had been in college, saw the end result of what people weren't doing through K through 12. And large majority of, the United States still does not have preschool. So there are some kids that have an advantage because they've got preschool or they've got home environments that are academically oriented. But if you're saying it's mandatory, K through 12. Well, K through a certain age. And not all of our kids, when you still only have 40% of black and brown male students graduating high school, and a lot of the jobs now, high-tech jobs, are mandating that you need a college degree, then you've already created a permanent underclass.
Mm.
And then there's the other issue of, affordable. Bernie Sanders, who's a candidate for president, is saying that all junior colleges and state colleges will be free. That's possible. And we're competing, our kids that have to compete against other countries. And the other countries are sending their young people here, paying for it, the country's paying for it, and then they go back to their country and they're competing against us. And you wonder why the United States is on the losing end of it. And then black and brown people are even more so on the losing end of it. We're not in the cutting edge of technology. The science, technology, engineering, and math courses not being emphasized in public schools. And then even then, who has the money to go to college? Engineering is expensive, and that's not emphasized. And then there's gender politics. Girls are usually better in math up until the third or fourth grade, and then something happens.
This is true. And so with the how does it work with, and you probably mentioned this already, but how can our schools or our inner city schools stay on top of the funding that's needed in order to successfully provide our kids you know, with the education that they really need. Because, you know, I know here in Georgia, we've had a lot of credits taken away from the schools. And, you know, the complaint has been they don't have enough resources in order to, you know, educate the kids properly. And so I wonder sometimes, you know, why is it that, you know, we continually get the short end of the stick when it comes to the finances?
In our accreditation system.
I mean,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Pretty much that's, you know, that's the question. You know, what do you think that is? I mean, is it the committee? Like, I don't really know how that money's funneled down and handled, but where do you think it gets stuck at and misused?
Well, there's a lot of couple of places, and it can be complicated, but it's really very simple. One is that parents need to be involved. Whoever's a guardian, whoever, you don't have to be a biological parent. Somebody said to me, how many kids do you have, really? And I have one biological daughter. But one of my students says, oh, she's got about 300 or 400. We are part of the village. And so
True.
We have to be responsible for each other's child. Each other, I mean, if you're, I'm looking at it this way. If you know there's a kid in the neighborhood who's, you know, old school, they're having a problem, well, you become the auntie. And you figure out what's going on with this kid. And maybe instead of just taking your kid out, you're taking your kid and that kid to the library. Sometimes free. The library or the museum or a bookstore, you know, it doesn't have to be money. What's most valuable is time. Go to the school committee meetings, and if they don't have a meeting available, then you ask them to send you a newsletter, send you an update. Run for the offices. If there's a school site council or a parent site council, show up at the meetings. I mean, going to one meeting is better than going to no meeting. And you don't, you know, you can do it at the level that you can handle. But if you don't, if we're not involved with our kids' education, you're going to be miseducated. And that's
True.
What's happening. I'm breathing kind of heavy because I'm moving around. But, you know, so when people say, how do I get involved? You know, this is a presidential election. Get registered to vote. And then find out what the candidates' platforms are. Read about it. Google it. Look on the internet instead of watching, you know, House Lives or whatever, you know, but go on the internet and find out what's going on. Atlanta, I believe it was in Georgia, where those teachers were jailed because supposedly they were cheating on a test.
Yeah.
Now, here you have people killing black people who aren't spending one day in jail, but you have 12, 10 teachers who supposedly were cheating on a test, and they're spending time in jail. How is that right? So if you see something that's not right, you call into the radio talk shows.
Right.
Go into the chat line. Go into social media. Call into the TV talk shows. I mean, when you see something, say something. Do something. If you sit there and you wait for somebody else to do it, it's not going to happen. Believe me, when I prayed about standing out there with my black teacher's manner sign, it was me and Jesus most of the time. But I looked at the kids. You know, I looked at the kids like, what does this say to the young people about an adult standing up, a teacher that they know, standing up for what's right? It's definitely a David and Goliath situation, but guess what? David won.
Correct. Even as adults, if we don't set an example, if we don't set the standard, how are the children supposed to know what they're supposed to do in a situation that may be adversarial, that may be contradictory to what they've already been told? If we don't set examples for them, we're not showing them anything. Because you look at today's kids, they have no real role models. There's no one for them to look up to except athletes and rap stars.
Well, yeah, but, you know, in all honesty, too, I heard what Sharon said when she said that the media –
mm-hmm.
Doesn't you know, doesn't speak on a lot of the good that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of late, I have seen so many young people doing marvelous things. They're becoming entrepreneurs at age 12.
Yeah.
And 10. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It is just a blessing to see them on. They're inventors. I mean, they're doing a lot of great things, and it's such a blessing to see. But, you know, we only hear about that maybe on social media if somebody happens to grab an article, but, you know, as far as, you know, media noise, it's silent.
We all have to spread those things around as well. We have to share them. Don't be afraid to share things on the social media, because otherwise it's not going to get out there.
A lot of times,
well, the
yeah.
other thing, the other thing, too, is you need to educate yourself. I mean, I am a lifelong learner. I teach at Springfield College, and I teach adults. Up until December, I was teaching at a middle school, 8th grade, ELA, and social studies. And so, you know, I've taught almost every level. I get too tired for the little kids, but I love them because they always want to play. But so, you know, we're all teachers. Your first
True.
Teacher was probably your mother. And then she mm-hmm. learned from her grandmother, or she learned from an elder. So, you know, I encourage, don't say I'm too old for that, because there are elders, there are young people that will listen. And they need to hear the stories of us overcoming. I mean, we call
they
it
do.
A testimony in church. But, you know, people need to hear your story to know that you can overcome. And they hear that and they get encouraged. So you don't have to have the title of a teacher. But usually your walk talks louder than your walk. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So someone is watching you and you're teaching somebody whether you want to or not.
That's true.
You know,
that is just, that's right.
I mean,
children
you're teaching
are,
someone by how you carry yourself. If you're a black woman, you know, how you're carrying yourself, how you, what you're wearing, whether or not you're swearing, if you're a Christian, if you're doing what you say that you're supposed to be doing in church. I mean, you are teaching someone. I don't wear the hoochie mama pants anymore. I mean,
right.
I don't look good in them anymore. But when I was younger, yeah. But when I became a Christian, people were like, whoa. So they saw the change in me. When I'm talking to my students, they're not looking at my cleavage or looking at, you know, so I'm walking and modeling how young women are supposed to carry themselves. As an older woman, a mature woman, not an old woman, a mature woman, I'm modeling for these young women. This is what dignity looks like. This is how you're supposed to dress. This is how you're supposed to speak. This is how you carry yourself. So teachers, we are teaching in so many different ways how your hair, if you're wearing your hair natural, you're not wearing weaves. I don't have anything wrong with a weave. I got a couple of weaves myself. But I'm just saying you're making a statement. You're making a statement when you're wearing natural hair. You're making a statement that you're proud of your Africanness. So we're always teaching someone something about yourself, about your people, but you need to educate yourself first before you think you're going to educate someone else. So all parents, pick up a book, look at a video, look at the History Channel, go to the library, go to forums, they're free, go to lectures, go on the Facebook, there are plenty of groups to join, and then share that information with your friends, with your girlfriends, with your church members. I mean, personally, I feel like as black people, we need to have our own school system, because as long as we are educating ourselves in a system that is teaching our kids oppression, we're going to have a problem. You don't have God in the schools. You don't have prayer in the schools. And you don't see black people in the schools. So what is that saying? We don't exist? We don't matter? You can say Black Lives Matter all you want, but if you don't see yourself reflected in a powerful way, you're getting the message from somewhere else.
You're just talking loud and not saying anything.
Well,
Jesus.
Goodness, and it's so important for us to, as a people, to get our stuff together.
I heard, what's your opinion on this? There was a statement made that it's not possible for for black children to learn history from a white teacher, that history to our black children needs to be taught by black teachers?
Well, at some point, you need to have an exposure to a black teacher. There are excellent teachers that teach that are not black, who teach black history, but they need to be able to be challenged, and they need to understand that they're not black. Rachel Dolezal, who was perpetrating as a black woman, she caught H-E double hockey stick because people called her to task, mostly black women. Just because you change your hair and you go get a suntan doesn't make you black. Because you're married to a black man doesn't make you black. There are allies with Black Teachers Matter who are not black, who are valuable allies, who bring a lot to the table. What they understand is black people calling the shots for black people because it's our survival. But they're very cool. They're very cool. They're very supportive. They're very valuable. And so you need allies. And so,
right.
You know, standing out there with the Black Teachers Matter, people saying, what does that mean? Black teachers matter. All teachers matter. And I'm like, you know what? If I call you to a rally for breast cancer and you come and you say all cancers matter, you're at the wrong rally. This is for black teachers. Black teachers are being pushed out of the school system. We are an important part of educating our children, and we have to be there. And so increasingly, black people are being pushed out of the system in administrative positions, in power positions, in education. And so Black Teachers Matter just says just that. We matter in the education of our children, in the education of our people, for our people to survive.
This is so true.
You're setting a really good example, too, as a teacher, to be seen by so many black children that come into the room, because, you know, back in the day, we had very few black teachers. Even if we were in a black community, in a black school, so to speak, most of the teachers there were white. Not to say that I have anything against white teachers, but we just didn't have black educators in abundance.
How did you feel not seeing
yourself?
I think that's important to be able to look back and, you know, and see yourself. I mean, it's kind of hard to see yourself unless you see someone like you. So, that, you know, that's always good to have someone standing before you and, you know, that's just like you. That's a powerful statement.
Now, let me emphasize, just because someone looks black doesn't mean they're conscious. I had a black teacher, Miss Gray, and it took me a while to figure out that she was color conscious. We used to say back in the day, color struck. When I looked at the black and white photograph of our class, all the light-skinned people were in the front and all the dark-skinned people were in the back. Now, I used to like being in the back of a classroom because that's where you had the most fun. But she would always make me sit in the front, and I figured, well, that's because my last name begins with an E at that time, my maiden name. But then when I looked back on the photograph, I looked and all the light-skinned people were in the front, and the dark-skinned people, the darker you were, the further in the back of the class. And this was a black teacher. And one of my favorite teachers was actually a white woman, Miss Tucker. And she was in the third grade because she believed in children and she believed in learning, and she was a great teacher. But so don't get it twisted. When we say black teachers matter, the assumption is that the teacher is qualified, because I've heard that too. Well, you know, all black teachers aren't qualified. Well, yeah, you know, all men and all anything. So we're talking about the black teachers having the presence of a qualified black teacher in the classroom who loves teaching is important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can't judge books by their covers.
We're going to.
No, they may have our skin, but they're not always kin.
There you go.
If what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break and guests, listeners, if you have any questions for Sharon, please, when we come back from break, we will entertain those questions. And we're going to talk a little bit, since we did say that we would talk about Sharon, and I know you would be, I hate to bring this to you because you were to talk about Black Teachers Matter, but I do want, because we said that we would talk a little bit about hip-hop and the rap industry, if you would stay and be a part of that conversation. Is that something
You need Paul for that one. I think I think I should go. Actually, hip hop. Oh my God. Yeah.
Well.
Okay, I'll try. I could do. Yeah, I could. I mean, because I'm still on the radio, so I could do that.
We're gonna take a little break now. Listen, listeners, if you have any questions for Sharon, you know, after the break, we will take your calls, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, how am I ever going to finish this book? First, there's writer's block. Then there never seems to be enough time in my day to work on it, and then I don't know how to put my thoughts together. What do I do? I know. Call EX3 Books. They specialize in helping writers go from concept to published books. EX3 Books team helps with outlining, editing, marketing, and so much more. No time like the present. Let's see. www.ex3ent.com. Yeah, www.ex3ent.com. Let me get this information so I can fulfill my dream of becoming a published author. You should too.
You're listening to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Soul Speaks. I'm your host, Lynn Renee, co-hosting tonight, Mr. Mean.
Yes.
We've been talking with Sharon Hinton, and she's given us a wealth of information concerning the school system, her program, Black Teachers Matter. This has been a powerful discussion. We also, as well, we were looking for those that had a question to call in. We'll continue on until someone does that.
Yes, we also, our other guest that we had scheduled, Mr. Porter,
stuck.
is... had an unexpected travel engagement. He's on his way to Miami at this point in time, and he says that he was going to try and get in with us, but it doesn't look like he arrived in time. What we're going to do here is we know that he is a part of Rap Rehab, which is an organization that wants to fix the rap industry. This is why he called it Rap Rehab. I'm just figuring that maybe just from the sound of that, that the rap industry is in trouble. Not so much as far as making money is concerned, but so far as a culture and an influence on our children. It needs rehabilitation.
And that, and with that being said, Sharon, with the education system and the children, especially that age, I guess, when do they start listening? Maybe sixth grade, six to 12, six through 12.
They listen much earlier than that. I mean, our kids are sponges, and so, you know, without thinking, a lot of parents are listening to this music around their babies. And, you know, you look on social media and you see little babies twerking and trying to do the nay-nay and, you know, do the whip. I mean, literally, you see little babies. And so our kids, you know, are being highly influenced by a very misogynistic, negative images that are coming through what is hip-hop now. Now, I remember rap and hip-hop was very conscious. It was the sound of the street. And it was, you had Public Enemy, you had, I mean, I can remember, oh, Lord, I'm going back now. But, you know, you had a lot more conscious, I know, right? You had Arrested Development, you had a lot more conscious rappers, KRS-One. And so when they were rapping, even Queen Latifah, UNITY. So you had a whole group of people who were talking about what was happening. And they weren't calling women bees and, you know, all these names. And now you have this movie Straight Outta Compton, which, you know, that's a whole nother story. It's a story of N.W.A., but it's not the story of how Dr. Dre was beating up women, including his baby's mama, Michelle. So you have stories on social media where there supposedly was this secret cartel put together to use rap music against black youth to make them more subject to criminal influences so that it would fuel the school to prison pipeline. And when you think of how music has changed, I mean, my daughter is a teenager, and we talk about the lyric all the time. And so it's very cavalier for teenagers to walk around in their cousins' underwear and think that somebody else that they're talking about, male or female, when they're denigrating males and women, specifically black males and black women. So there's a huge negative influence on this in hip-hop. And so as far as I understand, Paul Porter is the founder and main principal person of Rap Rehab, and he's gone up against some of the heavy hitters on major media, mass media, fighting against the negative influences of hip-hop. I mean, it was to start out rap with rap, hip-hop, you know, it's two different things. And hip-hop back then is different than hip-hop now.
This is true, absolutely true. Now, with the NWA situation, at the time when rap was or hip-hop was very political conscious and, you know, trying to uplift the people, the problem with NWA coming into the mix, they said they literally, you know, everything that was being done that was positive at that time, that they literally killed it with coming up with their anger and their lyrics. Now, I'd have, you know, and I'm just playing advocate here, but this group, you know, at that time, they're saying, hey, listen, this is what it was like for us. We were just talking about, you know, what we were going through.
Our environment.
And, you know, and what was happening with us and their anger, you know, and how they were feeling, that was, they were giving expression to that. But now the thing about it is
it's
later
on. It's being taken in the wrong way.
Well, and then to later on in life, here these same people, Dr. Dre and
Ice Cube,
you know, they grew up. And, you know, and they've got some business sense about themselves. And, you know, look at the type of movies that Ice Cube makes a lot of times. So I think there's a maturity, of course. You know, when you're young, you're crazy, you're wild, you're out there. And, when you grow older.
Yeah, also easily influenced. Because
They also have kids now. And so, you know, if you notice, Chris Brown has a daughter. And so when a lot of these rappers and hip-hop artists and R&B artists come up and then they realize that their kids are now being programmed with the negativity, a lot of these same rappers and hip-hoppers don't want their kids listening to the same thing that they're putting out there for other people's kids.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, I mean, I wish that we had Mr. Porter on with us because I'm sure this would have been some type of awesome conversation that could go a lot deeper than certainly I can.
That's all right. We'll just reschedule him.
So, but Karen, you have brought us so much information and a lot to think about, too, you know, especially about getting involved. I have a young lady that left something on the chat that, you know, thanking you for, you know, that information about how to be a part and that she was going to, you know, get involved in passing that information along. And so, you know, I wish you the best as always.
Thank
and if
you.
There's anything that we can do, you know, to help the cause, certainly we want to.
Let us know. Inbox us.
Yeah, we want to be a part as well. And so with that being said, because we are running out of time, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing that wealth of information with us.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you both.
We don't know unless we
accept it, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Listen, folks, we have had a marvelous time. As always, tune in next week for our discussion that we will have. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blast. Listen, it's time to grow. It's time to do things. A lot of us are getting older. There's things that we've wanted to do for a long time and haven't done it. Well, now's the time to get started. So tune in next week at 7 p.m. And with that being said, it's your world. Create something good.